Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. And this week, we've been thinking about the implications of a planet that will soon have 10 billion people. In Africa, where the population stands today at more than 1 billion, making it the second most populous continent, efforts are being made to better manage family planning. It's a delicate process balancing practical realities against religion and culture, and each place is different. Andres Kelto, Africa correspondent for PRI's The World, recently completed a three-part series for his program called Family Choices, Fertility and Infertility in Africa.
You see a lot of variety from country to country, and you see a lot of variety in both the challenges and the successes. You find countries like Ethiopia, where the government is fully gotten behind initiatives to reduce family size and to encourage women to have fewer children. Basically, what they've done is they've put two what they call health extension workers in every single village in the country, no matter how small. And these two health workers, among other things, distribute free contraception to women and provide sort of counseling and just advice on how to properly space their pregnancies. And that's had a really dramatic effect. They've started to see the birth rate in the country fall. They've started to see infant mortality rates fall. One woman that I spoke to named Nea Ghosh lives in a village called Addis Zemen, which is in the northern part of Ethiopia. And she told me that the program has really started to change the attitudes of her neighbors and people in her village. And this is what she told me.
Large families used to be admired, but now it's people who use birth control and only have a few children who are respected.
So that's certainly a sign of change. Let's move on to Kenya, where the situation is far more fraught with fear and emotion than it is in Ethiopia, it seems, from your investigation.
Yeah, what I found in Kenya is that this whole idea of contraception and family planning is seen as a woman's issue in many parts of Kenya. It's not something that men want to be bothered with. It's not something that they're often comfortable talking about. So women are sort of left to do all the legwork. And what's worse is that men often want to have a lot of kids because it's a source of pride or even a source of wealth, a source of extra labor. But often men aren't willing to provide financially for their own children. I spoke with a woman at this clinic named Josephine, and this is what she told me about her husband.
He wants two more children, but he doesn't make much money, and he doesn't pay for anything. Even when the kids are sick, he doesn't give me money for the doctor.
And so the situation in Kenya is often one where women get on birth control secretly.
So, Anders, what support do women get from men in Kenya, if at all?
Well, there's some organizations that are trying to change men's attitudes about family planning and about family size. They have male health workers that go around their communities and organize events like soccer matches, you know, the types of events that tend to attract men. And they hand out information. They talk to them about the benefits of being responsible for their family's health. In South Africa and Africa generally, we often hear that women are having too many kids. But Africa also has the opposite problem in that a lot of women are infertile. In fact, infertility rates in some parts of Africa are very, very high, perhaps among the highest in the world. And infertility has serious consequences anywhere, but those consequences are especially bad in Africa. Women who cannot have children are more likely to end up living in poverty, often because their husbands leave them. They aren't allowed to have land. They can't inherit their husband's wealth. And so in South Africa, I spoke with a doctor named Silke Dyer, who studies infertility in Africa. And she told me that some infertile women are even shamed when they die.
And I think the worst issue of the dignity in death comes from reports from East Africa, where infertile couples, particularly women, would not be buried in community soil because there was concern that that would affect the fertility of the soil and they would be left to decay in the woods.
Fortunately, Dr. Dyer, who you just heard, is running a clinic in Cape Town. It's one of the very few in Africa that offers in vitro fertilization and other reproductive therapies to low-income couples. So there's a type of in vitro fertilization that's available for a fraction of the cost of what it would be in the private sector.
Anders Kelto's three-part series for The World on family planning issues in Africa went to Ethiopia, Kenya, and South Africa. Anders Kelto, thanks so much.
Thank you, John.